Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal.
And I am the awesome member of the show, Jeff.
Awesome member of the show.
That's right.
Wow.
Can you deny that?
I'm not going to comment on that. Happy Father's Day, everyone. I'd like to extend a happy Father's Day to my dad, Dan, who is also the nicknamed the Godfather of Unknown Paranormal, and also William Carroll, director of Unknown Paranormal. Happy Father's Day to those two members of our team and all the other fathers that are out there today. Hope you had a very good day. I've been up since 5 a.m. I went fishing this morning and got back about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mom finally got out of the hospital. And by the way, all the people out there that said kind words when Mom fell Thursday and shattered her elbow and broke 2 bones, surgery went well Saturday morning. And she came home today. Still in a lot of pain, but, you know, that's how it is. So thanks to everyone that that posted those kind words out there. But, yeah, then I came home. I had to undertake all the cooking for today because Mom obviously can't. So I spent 3 hours in my kitchen cooking dinner for Mom, Dad, my brother, his fiance, his 2 girls, and myself. So, I am stuffed.
Nice. And I also like to say happy Father's Day to my dad, Michael Sterl. I know he's not listening because he does not do internet things.
This is what your dad would probably say. At least some point during your life.
I don't know nothing about that. All I know is that somebody is going to get whooped over this thing.
Oh, God, yeah. He said that several times.
So that was a tribute to Mr. Sterl. Happy Father's Day.
Okay. Hey, damn it. Okay. Modify. There we go. Okay. I'm... In a couple of weeks, I'm taking a trip to Memphis, and I've already made the hotel reservations. Now I made rental car reservations, but unfortunately, I made the reservation to pick the rental car up in Memphis.
I'm a drunk pimp.
Wow, Dr. Phil chimed in on that one.
Yeah.
But
I don't
really,
blame
really, and truly, this is what Dr. Phil would probably comment on your Memphis trip. If it's going to play. Well, I guess it ain't going to play.
And let me just be honest with you. Nobody really cares. Fair enough?
Oh, they care.
Well, Dr. Phil had to fill in for Martin, who would probably be making some of those comments. But, Martin, I hope you start feeling better, buddy.
Martin is polite. Martin is a very polite young man.
Are you nuts? What the hell are you thinking? You got to grow up.
Wow. Just wow, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to smoke dope and have a good time.
You're not going to
do that.
Do what?
I'm not going to do that.
Really? Dr. Phil, what are you going to say about that?
That's a load of crap.
Oh, man. Sorry, everyone is listening. I'm having fun with these Dr. Phil quotes that we have loaded up on our studio. So
you, sir, are a first-class jackass.
I am?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Well, Dr. Phil, what do you think that Jeff should, what's some advice to Jeff?
I want you to start having a gay relationship.
God.
I want you to start living as a gay woman.
Did you put this into the soundboard?
No, this is my boy's FWP, Ghost Hunting Texas Style. They have these up on theirs.
So it's on the soundboard?
It's on the soundboard.
That's what I asked you.
I'm a drunk pimp. How about when this is over, we go do a little coke?
Damn.
Oh, man. Wow. Anyway, tonight we have Megan Campbell, which I need to shoot her a message. Make sure she is still, she's online. So Megan's a paranormal investigator. She's real good friends with Jody Parks, joined her paranormal hot squad last year, I believe. Some of the other things, she began to work in the paranormal field about 6 years ago doing independent research and investigations. She founded the University of Iowa Paranormal Society, which sadly disappeared after she transferred universities. Megan then joined CCPI, a local Iowa team, where she renamed... Oh, she just... Megan's listening in, so I'm talking about you, Megan. While with CCPI, Megan investigated several locations across the state of Iowa. Last fall, Jody Parks and Megan... teamed up, at which point Megan joined the Paranormal Hot Squad. Jody and Megan are currently working together on several up-and-coming projects, films, research, and investigations. She plans to continue researching and investigating the paranormal, hopefully on a nationwide basis. Her favorite piece of equipment is the ghost box, and she likes to provoke.
Well, all right.
Yeah, she's really cool. Like I said, she's a friend with Jody. And when they talk about provoking, you know, it's there's not a rule book. We talked about this Tuesday. There's not a rule book for investigating the paranormal. Yes, you can put yourself in danger by being more aggressive, but are they breaking any rules? No. They're putting themselves in more harm? Yes. is it all right to tell somebody how to investigate and the right way to investigate? No. When I look at it, everybody does their thing. We're all in it together. And, you know, just like Jody says, she doesn't go into a residential house and provoke, you know. Most of the time what she's talking about is some of these public places that you go that several teams investigate, you know.
Right.
And, we talked about that a little bit. I talked about you and I's experience at Yorktown when another team decided to provoke and what mm-hmm. happened there. But,
yep.
you know, like me and Jody and Megan talk about, you know, sometimes, especially if you go into a place where spirits, maybe there's male spirits there from the 1800s. Well, back in the 1800s, would a woman stand up to a man and tell him off? Probably not.
Most cases, yeah, most times, probably not.
Well, that's one reason they do it, because these spirits are like, whoa, that woman is talking to me like this? Wait
mm-hmm.
a minute, you know? And they've gotten some results, so... We're going to talk to Megan more about all that when she calls in. And so, yeah. But, you know, we actually were in on a team that was even worse than Jody or anybody else out there in the paranormal, because of the simple fact that we were on a residential case, and this dude, our fearless leader on this other team, was provoking in this person's house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I remember that.
Are you nuts? What the hell are you thinking?
Yep.
You got to grow up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'd like to do sometime? I would like to take the video that we found, I guess we found it about a year or so ago, of the last investigation we did with that old team. And do you remember when you and I were investigating that that little prison?
Oh, yeah.
I want to extract the audio from that and play it on the show.
I got to find it. I don't know where it's at. It's on one of the discs. But, yeah, your dumbass thought that there was a drawing of a butterfly on the wall.
Just glancing at it, that's what it looked like.
And just keep in mind, everybody, I was filming this, and I said, boy, there ain't no damn butterfly. That's a damn woman with her legs spread. You can see her hoo-ha. You were calling it. You said, there's a damn butterfly. I was like, hell, I don't know what butterfly you talking about.
Just glancing, that's what it looked like.
I guess, but, yeah. That was pretty funny.
That was
and
funny.
And the simple fact, we kept trying to get the prisoners to take a run.
No, they knew better than to try to mess with me.
Since when?
Do you remember Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Did it take a run at me then? No, sir, it did not.
No, it ran out of energy. It threw me, Shauna, and Will out of a room. But it saw your big ass said, oh, hell no, I can't manifest any more energy to do that.
No, it could have started with me. But it didn't. It knew better. So it wanted to start with the little shrimp guy. So it started with you. Yeah, I said it.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I don't know. I know that this weekend I will be in Shreveport at a conference. Be at Logan Mansion Friday night and Saturday night leading an investigation. Along with Dad and Shonda.
Cool.
It's the Downtown Shreveport Paranormal Fest. So if you're in the area and want to come out, come on out. There's lots of things going on. I'm going to be speaking on investigative skills and procedures at a location, basically talking about not necessarily a residential, but some people like Logan Mansion or Allen House or Hill House Manor. These are houses, but they let lots of paranormal teams come in there, right? So it's not technically a residential. They live there, except for Hill House, but these people live there, but they already know it's haunted. They just let people come in and see what kind of more evidence they can come about. So we're going to talk about procedures and skills and things to do when you're at one of those locations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the speech is about.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. I believe our guest is on hold. Megan, you there?
I am here. How are you guys tonight?
Awesome.
Good.
Excellent, excellent.
How are you doing?
Yeah, we're a man down tonight. Martin, our third host, was out in the heat and sun today, and he's dehydrated and throwing up all day, so he's not coming on tonight.
Well, that's no good, but the show must go on, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. So, Megan.
Yeah.
For our listeners out there, just give us a little bit of background of when you got into the paranormal and what kind of got your interest into it. What sparked that interest that you're like, man, I need to get into this field and really figure out these answers.
Well, I mean, you hit it pretty well, but. Like you said, I started in the paranormal field about 6 years ago. Started out as a teenager investigating my, at the time, high school sweetheart's house where his stepfather's wife, previous ex-wife, had passed away. And I guess my interest really sparked in the paranormal a long time ago in my childhood. I had a lot of experiences. I moved around a lot as a kid and lived in tons of old houses and apartments and things like that. And I would always have the experiences of, you know, hearing doors closing and people walking around and hearing people talking at night and knowing that nobody else was awake. And I was never scared of it, but I was always fascinated by it. And so as I got older, I started to do research, and then I learned that people actually check this stuff out. So then that's when I really decided that I wanted to be an investigator. And you know, my first year at college, I did start up the University of Iowa Paranormal Society. Kind of a flop, but, you know, that's okay. The biggest, you know, complication with that was I was trying to go through the university to get it sponsored as an actual organization. So a lot of paperwork involved with that, and the whole process just didn't get completed. But
right.
For some reason, you know, there was a Mario Kart club, but they had a huge problem with paranormal investigation clubs. So, whatever.
Wow.
But anyway, then I moved to Cedar Falls, Iowa, and transferred schools and joined up with CCI and investigated with them for just shy of 3 years. So I've done all kinds of locations within Iowa, a couple outside of Iowa, and then that's when I met Jody. And she kept telling the guys that she was going to steal me, and then they didn't let her. And finally it was like, you know what, you really do belong with Jody because you guys are exactly the same.
Right.
So I've been working with Jody since last September, so almost a year now, and I've been exclusively with the Paranormal Hot Squad since November. So, we have lots of exciting projects and films coming up. We're working on two films at the moment. So really great stuff.
Yeah, and eventually some other things that you'll be able to talk about at some point. I already know what it is, but, you know.
yeah, we have some.
You got something cooking.
Oh, believe me, we have got something massive cooking, and I can't wait until I can talk about it, but right now we can't. So eventually, you know, give it a few months, and we'll be able to finally talk about it, but right now it's kind of on the hush-hush. So,
yep.
But it is
huge,
and you guys will be really excited.
What's I hate that? People that tease like that. Come on.
The way I always put it is just stay tuned and stay up with Megan and Jody and you and Phil, and you'll find out.
Absolutely. Very soon.
This is why I don't watch TV, because I hate it when the TV shows would show tune in next week to find out the killer. I don't want to tune in next week. I want to tune in now.
That's why I don't watch cable. I wait until the shows come out, and then I buy them so that I don't have to.
There you go.
Go through that.
Yeah. Oh, tune in next week. No, I don't have to. I just hit next.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, and like I was talking to Jeff before you came on, and talked a little bit about the discussion we had Tuesday about people's paranormal investigative styles, right? And
we did.
Yeah. And you know, you and Jody have a different style than most of the norm, right? I mean, I'm sure there's others out there, but you guys, you know, can get under the gun pretty quick a lot of times, but like I said earlier, there's no rule book, you know? How can you dictate and tell people what they can and can't do when there's no rules?
Absolutely. I mean, Jody and I get a lot of flack for what we do. You know, people say all the time that we're using our looks and our sexuality to get ahead or to get results, and it's like
I do that all the time.
But I mean, on a serious note, we use that because it's what works, and you know, especially some of these locations we've done where there are rapists and evil, nasty things there. It really works, and it really gets results, and it's like, you know, who is anyone to say that you can't do something if it gets results? And even if
Absolutely.
It doesn't, you know, I mean, that's what this whole field is about, is experimentation and trying new things and trying to find out what works and what doesn't work. And, you know, it works for us. And so we continue to do things like dress up in schoolgirl outfits and tie each other up and get on top of each other.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, Jeff. They actually have, and that's one of their films that they're working on from a location. Megan, did Jody tie you up, or was it the other way around? I think Jody tied you up.
Jody tied me up twice, actually. The first time she tied me up was in this room. It's actually an old mental institution here in Iowa. The first time that she tied me up was to a chair on the women's side in a room where I had previously been scratched 3 times on my wrist. And then the second time that she tied me up was on the men's side in one of the beds. I was laying face down, and she tied my arms behind my back. And then she crawled on top of me and was riding me and, like, yanking at my, like, leather strap, screaming at this thing to come get me. So.
And what part of YouTube do I look up to find this?
It's not out yet, but we'll keep you posted when we release it and where you can find it. So I promise it will be soon, and you will get to see it soon.
Nice.
But it's well worth the wait.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, you girls got a lot of results at Farrar. Dressed up as schoolgirls, did y'all not?
Yeah, we got tons of results there. I mean, a lot of us were touched and heard things. Phil and I were in a room together in the principal's office together, and the door opened in front of our faces, and all kinds of crazy stuff happened in that pool. I love that place.
You know, and that just spurred a question that I haven't asked you yet. Because you've investigated that place numerous times. did you get more activity when there was all the girls in there, or was there more activity when you were with your team, at, you know, the past team that you were on, CCPI?
Honestly, that school is, it has this, it's like it has a personality. There are certain nights that it's really, really active no matter who's there, and it's there are certain nights that it's just completely dead quiet. So I wouldn't necessarily say that I had more activity with CCPI there, but it was just different. With CCPI, I was definitely attacked more. I think that with all of, you know, because I was the only female at that point. So I think that had something to do with it, you know, having Jody and the other girls there kind of probably intimidated the guy a little bit. And I think he kind of backed down and didn't do near as much as he normally does. So yes and no, I guess, is my answer.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is I'm one of these people in the field that I try to find patterns. I try to see if there's something that works more, you know, at a location. So that's why I asked, you know, just curious to see, you know, if you had more activity when all the girls were there or more activity when there was more guys there. So that's why I do that a lot with my team. A lot of times it's mixed and matched, you know, but sometimes I'll put girl teams together and guy teams, and we'll go on different locations in the facility and see, you know, because there's a bunch of girls or a bunch of guys, if that affects what goes on, you know?
Oh, definitely, definitely. The school, though, for me is different. It's more on a personal level for me, and I think the connection that we found, I was with my CCPI team there one night, and we were doing a ghost box session in the janitor's closet, where supposedly the janitor also used to take girls there and sexually assault them. And we ended up getting this girl come across our ghost box saying that her name was Megan. And this other nasty principal guy, multiple times when other people are there, they get my name on their audio saying that it wants to rape and kill me. He's followed me home before. And so I think we kind of found a little connection there between me and, you know, maybe some girl from the past who was one of their victims. And we think that either it's the name being similar or that maybe I kind of look like her, because there have been other girls from other teams that have gone into the building that are similar to me, you know, short, blonde hair kind of thing, and they get attacked really bad, but other girls don't. So it's kind of more on a personal level with that school for me.
Right.
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah.
I have something to play here. It's the, you know, the commercial you told me to work on?
Yeah.
I have an updated version. It's not finished. Just a couple little tweaks here and there we got to make. But we do have it. Here we go.
Historic cemeteries. For more information, go to www.easttexasghostcon2013.eventbrite.com.
Cemeteries. Yeah, okay, that means more than one.
I guess it was my phone, but I couldn't really hear the first part of the
video. No, that wasn't you at all. He tweaked it. He did this little monster effect, and you know, initially we were like, oh, that's cool. And then it took a listen to it, and I can't understand it. So that's something we're going to change up in the next couple of days.
Plus, you got to put in there that Kevin Bryan.
I know.
Did you say what date it is?
No, you didn't tell me what day it was.
He played a commercial without no date. It's October the 5th.
Okay.
You might want to put that in there. Well, you got to redo the voice anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, cool. Back to Megan. Now I've lost my train. So you just kind of threw me off by throwing that commercial in right then, Jeff?
All I'd have had to do to throw you off is just, you know, throw a banana until you go get it.
Damn. Megan,
it's not
still
like
there?
Throwing you off is that hard to do.
I'm still here. Yep, I'm still here.
Yeah, you just have to pardon Jeff. Jeff and I, unfortunately, went to high school together a long, long time ago, and we've known each other quite a few years. So we go back and forth at it a lot.
Hey, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I thought
I
would
get Jeff on a regular basis. He denies it on a regular basis as well.
Well, I tried over the last, I'll go ahead and say it, over the last like 21 years, I've tried to do my best to get away from you, but you always seem to find a way back in.
Well,
you know, I was a senior, you were a junior. So I graduated, and then your ass decides to go out to the community college that I was, you know, back and forth between there and SFA. So I had to see you there.
Oh, you
Let's
got
see. Then you joined the first paranormal team with me, and then when I started this one, you came on this one, and now I have to talk to you every Sunday.
And you know what? It's a blessing to you because of all the stories you get because of me. Because no good story ever started off with everything went right on this trip. But with me, you get to start off the story with, you know what this jackass did?
Yeah, Megan, he hasn't said it yet, but Jeff has proclaimed for the last since we've been on the radio back in 2011, when we first aired on Blog Talk, Jeff proclaimed to the public that he is the paranormal sex symbol.
That's right.
I love it.
Yes.
But I've told him numerous times that he needs to bring me the evidence and at least 10 different EVPs from the spirit world that they confirm that he indeed is the paranormal sex symbol.
I brought you an EVP and you said it was a fake.
It was.
Can you prove it?
I'm not going to get back into that. I just know I did a ghost box session and I asked the spirits if you were the sex symbol and they said no.
Well, that spirit
and then,
is a mass spirit.
And then we got one that said yes, but it was a male spirit. So I don't know what kind of sex symbol you are to the male spirits.
to everybody. Everybody wants a piece of pie here.
Oh, we're entertaining Megan tonight.
I love it.
It's kind of like the male version of you and Jody talking.
Yeah, that sounds pretty close.
Yeah. So we talked about Farrar. We didn't talk. You touched a little bit about the mental institution. What was that like investigating that place?
That place is great. I love it. When I was with CCPR, that was when I first investigated. It was actually about a year ago, and it was crazy. We were the first team that was open to a public investigation. The only people who had investigated before was the owner's nephew and a couple of his buddies. So we were the first actual team to be allowed in the building, so that was amazing. And it was great. It was just a crazy place. When we went in there, and they've since cleared a lot of this stuff out just, you know, for privacy and security reasons. But when we first went in there, I mean, there were still, x-rays and patient files. I pulled out a box of papers that were like, diagnosis schizophrenia, patient is violent with others, and just all of these files and really crazy stuff. You know, a lot of all the beds are still there, all of the furniture is still there. Some people still have like letters and other personal items in the drawers. I mean, it was just absolutely eerie to go through there and, you know, look at basically what these people were living like. And what's crazy about it is people were living there and they used it as an adult, you know, mental facility, like an elderly mental facility up until, I believe, 2010, and which is just crazy to me because the conditions are just absolutely terrible. I mean, the walls are falling apart. The basement has black mold, and it's just it's kind of sad, actually, to go through and see the conditions that these people were living in. But, you know, I'm glad that they've created a new facility for them as well. I mean, the history is amazing, too. It started out as a poor farm, and then it was a mental institution, and then it became that elderly mental institution. And they still have those, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, the movie Grave Encounters, where they have that small bathroom, and all that's in there is a bathtub, where they did, like, hydrotherapy. They still have those. They still have the x-ray table. You know, like I said, all of the beds and everything. It's just, it's a really eerie feeling to walk through that place. And the basement is my personal favorite. In the basement, there is what I call it the creeper. It's this small, like, child-sized black shadow, but I don't think it's a child because it's kind of nasty looking. That thing, I stood in the hallway and watched it crawl around my legs, and then it started to crawl up my legs towards my head. That was pretty creepy. I've also seen a guy in the basement in a white straitjacket with, like, a creepy grin, like, ear-to-ear grin, just super creepy. And then there's also, like, a 7-foot-tall shadow man with a top hat and a black, long black coat, and he wears boots, and you can hear his boots walking throughout the basement. And there have been times in that basement that I have literally chased him around. I'll hear him walking down the hallway, so I'll run down there. And then I'll hear him clear on the other side of the basement, so I'll run down there. So it's a pretty creepy place. I love it.
Now, do you, you know, when you see, like you were talking about the creeper trying to claw up your leg, does any of that ever freak you out? Does it just scare the hell out of you? Or, you know, how do you handle that stuff?
I mean, it does kind of creep me out, but at the same time, it's an adrenaline rush, and I love that. And that's, you know, a huge reason why I love investigating is because I enjoy being scared. I mean, I've always been a horror movie fanatic, and, you know, I've always loved roller coasters and haunted houses and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I enjoy being scared. So, yeah, there's a brief moment of that natural fight or flight kind of feeling. But then you fight past that and you really get that rush, and I love it.
Right. Exactly. Now, you know, we talked about this before, but we'll talk about it again on this show. You like using the ghost box.
I love to go spa.
What are the reasons that you like the ghost box?
The biggest reason I like the ghost box is that you get real-time responses. You know, you don't have to wait until you go home and review your audio to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. Granted, there are mm-hmm. other things you don't notice at the time, but for the most part, you get those right-away responses. The other thing that I really enjoy about it is that you can hear their actual voice. Like, when I've used it in the For Our School, I've heard that principal's voice so many times that I know exactly what his voice sounds like, and I can tell the difference between the spirits that are talking. And I think that just gives a really personal touch to, you know, what you're dealing with and what you're investigating.
Right. Yeah, and we've had some weird things happen with our ovulus. We have an ovulus X, and you know, it's got a word bank in it, which I've pulled it up on my computer and actually looked at the word bank. And so we've been on investigation, and I know one place here locally. One of the investigators was talking, and the ovulus said, "Asshat."
Yeah.
And the investigator said, "What did you call me? Did you just call me an asshat?" And it said it again, and it slowed it down. It said,
yep.
"Ass."
Nice.
"Hat." And that's not in the word bank.
Nope.
You know?
That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome.
So, you know, there's a lot of investigators who are not fans of different things, but I like to use them because of the fact that you can get some pretty crazy things, and, you know, they're unexplainable. And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. The ghost box, Jeff's not really a fan of the ghost box because it says it gives him a headache.
That and annoys the crap. I mean, it's like riding in the car with someone who can't leave the radio alone.
That is true. It's a good point.
That annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, but I got a modified one. You haven't been on investigation yet since I got that SB7 that's got the AM filter on it.
It scans,
you know, on FM it scans like every other SB7. You switch to AM and it scans. But all you hear is the clicking of the scanning. It's filtered out the radio stations.
Oh, that's still good on my nerves.
It's not as loud, but when something comes through, it's not the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
So
I prefer the obelisk. I prefer the obelisk.
Yeah. Well, that obelisk, sometimes it's pretty accurate depending on where we're at. And, oh, man, what is the name of the place? God, it's been Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
You know the, huh? Howard Dickinson House, yeah. It actually said Howard, I don't know how many times.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the brothers, the Howard brothers. But, you know, it would say different things that was right along with the history.
Yep.
Now, Megan, speaking of that, you know, besides the adrenaline rush and whatnot, are you, because I know with myself, I love history. I love old buildings. I love the stories behind them, you know, find out the real scoop of what went on in that location. Is that something that you're into as well, finding out, you know, the history behind what went on in that facility?
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoy the history part. That's one of my favorite parts of investigating. I've always loved hearing about people's lives and their stories. And that's part of what I enjoy too, is hearing about these places and you know, how these people lived there or how they interacted there. And I always use that as a part of my investigation. I always try to put myself in those people's shoes. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll provoke in the sense that I'm one of the female victims, or, you know, like in that mental institution, I provoked when I was tied up as being a patient. And there's actually, I've got a clip on YouTube of this I can share with you guys, but there's about 10 minutes worth of me just screaming and freaking out, saying they tied me up, they won't let me go. Is there any patients that can help me? They're trying to kill me. Just all this stuff. So I really try to use that in my investigations, and I think that tends to get pretty good results too. So.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. we the Howard Dickinson House, we weren't investigating, you know, and of course, it's not 100%, you know, nothing is, but all the evidence that we gathered, the location, the town, it's a very small town here in Texas, and they've always said that one of the brother that died in the house, he died because he was cleaning his shotgun after they'd been hunting, and the gun went off and it shot him. That's one story, and then one of them's one brother was cleaning his gun and it went off and shot the other brother and killed him. But that's always what the community has known, and this was back in 1898. And
wow.
Yeah, and when we started investigating, we did various things. One of the team members, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody do a Ganzfeld experiment. And
I've seen the experiments. I've never done it, but
yeah. We did the Ganzfeld, and he's also a psychic medium, and of course, he was completely cold as far as the history of the place. He knew nothing about the murder, or not the murder, the accident per se. And then when he went under the Ganzfeld, we were in the first floor, and we were pointing up. We were on the first floor in a room, and he started pointing up to the room above him, and he said, "Someone died up there," which is the bedroom upstairs where the supposed gun went off, right?
Oh, wow.
So he already started hearing that, because he was hearing the spirits come through the static noise that was being played in his earphone. And then he was picking up on everything. He said a woman had a small caliber pistol and shot a man point blank in the face. And we were like, interesting, you know. Well, while this is all going on, we find out later when we review, you hear, when he's talking about this, you hear, we get an EVP of a male saying, "I loved her." And then you get an EVP of a gun going off.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, and at the same time we got the EVP, he's coming out of the Ganzfeld, and he takes the headset off, and we're like, "What's wrong?" He goes, "My ear's ringing because I just heard a gunshot through the headphone."
Wow.
And so we took a break, and one of the other team members filmed him, and he walked up to that bedroom upstairs, and he got the vision from the female spirit that was there, and she told him the entire thing that happened. She actually was dating one of the brothers, and she pulled out a gun and shot him in the face. And the other brother ran upstairs, and, of course, you know, there was a lot of money involved, so that other brother was going to inherit everything, right? So he's not going to say anything. So he helped this woman drag the body all the way down into the basement, and then they called the police, went and got them, 1898. I don't think they had phones. They might have.
The phone wasn't invented by that time, but... the likelihood that people had them is slim.
Yeah. But
right.
Anyway, they got the police, and then they told him that whole story that, you know, the gun went off on accident or whatever. He was cleaning the gun. So it was a murder covered up as an accident. And we got it all through EVPs. The guns failed. At some point, the lady spirit that is there that actually committed the murder, she starts talking to our psychic and giving all the details. And the reason she's still there, she's tormented because of what she did, and she's scared to cross over because she's scared of what judgment is going to be passed on her, right? So she's kind of in between, right? And we were trying to explain to her, you know, God's a forgiving God. Yeah, things happen. You know, you're not going to know till you go. You need to go. You don't need to sit here and suffer, right? Because all she's doing in the state she is replaying that event over and over and over again.
Exactly.
But, yeah, we, through this investigation, you know, the investigation ended up, we turned up a possible murder case. Well, I presented it to the Chamber of Commerce, and naturally, nothing has been said, done, or any research has been done on, because I gave them, we were getting names of people. The woman gave us her name, so I told them about this woman, you know, to look her up and see if she actually was involved with one of the brothers back in that time period, to kind of link the history to what we were getting, to kind of, you know, get some more solid evidence. But
mm-hmm.
I guess they just wanted to brush that under the rug, you know, because think about it. If a woman shot a man in the face, or just shot a man in period back in 1898 in a small Texas town, that woman's going to probably hang in front of everybody in the middle of town. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's one of those times where, you know, we do an investigation and then we turn up something that was totally different from what everybody was saying that it was. Have you ever gone to a location and, you know, all the claims, you know, this, that, and other people that run the building or live in the place or whatever it might be tell you this, but then when you start doing the investigation, you find either more proof about their story or you find a completely different thing going on that people didn't know about.
Well, that, I mean, that was exactly what happened with the Farrar School. It was kind of a complicated situation. You know, all of the claims were children and locker doors slamming and footsteps through the hall and kids laughing and stuff. And we got there and we just immediately had this like nasty gut feeling that something bad was there and that something bad happened there. And so, you know, we were actually, we had our good friend Johnny Hauser along with, you may have heard of him, owns the, or runs the Axe Murder House in Ballista. We had him as our guest investigator for the night. And he immediately, he's like, I don't even want to say this, but I have this mental image of a girl being raped for some reason, that somebody was raped in here. And so we started to kind of play off of that mental image that he had gotten. And that's when we started getting things on our ghost box that said rape, and it said I raped two girls. That, you know, that principal's voice that I was talking about came on and said I raped two girls. And you know, we took our evidence to the owner and we're like, all right, here's the deal. Here's what we found. Do you have anything you want to tell us about this place? And for the longest time, she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing like that ever happened here, blah, blah, blah. And so we're like, you know, whatever. She's probably not really wanting to talk about it, which is understandable. So we kind of let it go. And then, you know, we kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And finally she came out and said, yes, that did supposedly happened here. She's like, you know, I don't have any factual proof, but supposedly that was something that happened here. So that was probably one of the most intense and, you know, validating feelings I've ever had in the work that I do, knowing that the evidence that we captured completely validated what had really happened, even though it had been completely kept quiet and swept under the rug, we still found it with our paranormal investigation. And that really makes me wonder, you know, what service the paranormal field could do when it comes to solving crimes. And, you know, granted, that's a whole other issue. But, I mean, the fact that we were able to figure that out that nobody had known about before was just absolutely incredible.
You know, and I wish Martin was here because he could have talked about a project that he's been doing a lot of filming for called RSVP. And what he does is if there's a horrific event, say a really bad car accident or a murder that happened or whatnot, as soon as he finds out, then he'll go to that location, take photographs, and run an EVP recorder and see if he can get anything on the spiritual side, if someone has died in one of these events, right? And I remember him telling Jeff and I one time when he was first doing this that some location there in Dallas, Fort Worth area, a guy had been shot and killed in an alley or something like that, and he went over there and did an EVP session and actually got several EVPs of a spirit telling, you know, who the shooter was, who's still alive. Basically ratted them out through EVP. But, of course, you know, what do you do with that? You know, you go to the cops, it's not like that could hold up in court.
Nope.
But it, like you said, it's real interesting, you know, that we can find out things that people that are not in the field, they just assume this happened or whatnot, and we're actually getting spirits telling us what happened, you know?
Right, exactly. And that's, you know, that's something I kind of think along that topic is, you know, while it would not hold up in court, I think there should be kind of a system in check where, you know, we have the ability to take that to the police and, you know, they can't use it as evidence per se, but it might give them a cause to look into it further. Like, you know, say they could search that guy's home and find the type of gun that he owns and compare that to the type of gun that was used in the murder, things of that nature. So I think that's where it could really come in handy. But again, I think we're quite a long shot from being able to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could consider it a tip, you know. We got this tip, so we're going to go check out this guy, right? But, yeah, you know, and that's kind of like my friend who's a medium, that there was a horrific kidnapping and murder. This girl disappeared. It was back in the 90s. Jeff knows the case I'm talking about.
Yep, I know it.
Yeah, and they never found her, never found her body, nothing, right? And he was, I can't even remember where he was at. He was out in public somewhere. I think he was at McDonald's or he was eating or something. And the spirit of this girl appeared and started talking to him, and it was the spirit of this missing person, this girl. And she actually told him where the body was, where her body was, you know. And this was a case where it involved cops, dirty cops. The Texas Rangers were brought in. But like he said, if I go to the authorities and tell them, hey, I'm a medium and the spirit of the girl that y'all been trying to figure out what happened to, she told me where her body is, and it's here. Those cops are going to look at him like, okay, why do you know where that body's at?
Yep.
That's a very good point. And actually, that brings something else to my mind. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but I recently came across a story on CNN, and I can't remember where it was. Actually, it may have been down in Texas. But this medium came to the police and said that she knew where this missing girl's body was, and it was, you know, buried in the backyard of this random person's home. So, you know, the FBI was brought in. These poor people were evacuated from their home, and their entire lives were just ripped apart. They ended up finding no body. And now the woman is being ordered to pay, like, almost $7 million in damage and restitution for that false tip. So it's a fine line. It really is.
Well, what is it? What is that? One woman, she's a famous psychic medium. She's older. Is it Sandra Brown? Sylvia Brown.
Yeah.
That case, it was a case, people came up missing, and she told everybody, yeah, those people are dead. And then 10 years later, they pop up alive.
Yep, I remember that one too.
I was like,
That was the recent case in Cleveland, Ohio, where they found those three girls in that house.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you know that hurt her book sales?
Well, it was worse than that, because she put a bad stamp on psychic mediums in general.
Yeah.
Because she went on Dr. Phil back in like 2006,
mm-hmm.
and told the mother of one of those girls back then, dear, I'm getting the feeling that she's passed away, so you better prepare yourself. So, I mean, it really distraught the mother, and her health started deteriorating, and she ended up passing away. And then they find the girls here recently, you know. So that mother passed away thinking that her daughter was dead when she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
yeah, the family says they were okay with her. They said they'd forgiven her. So, I can't be mad at her.
No, I just think if you're going to go and tell somebody whether or not their missing child is alive or dead, you better know for sure, you know? Don't toy with people's emotions when it comes mm-hmm. to that.
Well, that's
absolutely.
I think a lot of, you know, people that claim to be psychic and mediums, when it comes to stuff like that, they believe that they are 100% correct.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, you know, without scientific proof, you know, you really can't, you know, prove it to anybody.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do.
You know, and there's several theories out there that I know that our team is really starting to try to delve into some of that to try to figure out, you know, for instance, how many times have you seen it on television or other paranormal teams, and I think a lot of them is because they got it from television, but they'll go in someplace and they'll go, man, it's getting cold in here. The temperature's dropped 15 degrees, so a spirit is drawing the energy out of the air and making it colder in order to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many people have actually tested that theory to actually get valid or pretty close evidence to show that, yeah, that's what a spirit is doing, and that's why you have that temperature drop? We just naturally say it, you know, if we got a temperature gauge in a location and it's 75 degrees in there and you're standing there and doing an EVP session and all of a sudden it drops down to 55, you're like, whoa, there must be a spirit in here doing that, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there's variables when it comes to weather and temperature and whatnot, and I realize that, and drafts and whole other variables, but I'm talking about if they're, because I actually have done it. I've talked to spirit. I used the temperature gauge as a K2 meter, and every time I asked the question. If the answer was yes, I had them drop the temperature 1 degree. And I talked to spirit in a cemetery. It was about 32, 35 degrees. And I remember this because I had tried to hold my arm in the same place for like 30 minutes, and it damn near killed me. But I talked it down from 35 all the way down to 15 degrees.
Wow.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was crazy. But
yep.
it would answer, and if it was no, it would stay, it would either go up a degree or just stay there, solid. And so I want to test that theory. Is that what they're actually doing? You know, instead of paranormal investigators saying these type of things because they might have saw it on television, well, let's test that theory. Let's put it to the test so that now we know whether or not to say that when we're in a location. You know, there's lots of things that teams will tell clients that they heard on television.
Mm-hmm.
True story, yeah.
I mean, it's food for thought, but, you know, that's the direction I want to go. I want to test some of this stuff because a lot of teams are not doing that, and I'll test it, and if I do have some valid proof on these experiments and I share with everybody in the field, then that's information that they can use when they're investigating.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
I mean, Megan, you probably heard this too. You know, how many people out there have said, well, this building is highly active with paranormal activity because its foundation is made out of limestone.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Well, how many times have we tested limestone in a paranormal atmosphere? Yes, for all you scientists and people in the field, I know it's really hard to even set up an experiment in a haunted location because you really have to try to do it in a lab. But
right,
we got to do what we got to do to try to test this, and I want to introduce limestone into a location and see what I can come up with. You know? Why not set up...
Not a bad idea.
Why not set up an aquarium with a layer of limestone in the bottom and go a step further and have it where you got a pump in there and you got water, running water, like flowing like a river or a creek or whatnot, and see if that does anything to the environment in the room. Does it increase paranormal activity? Does it help the spirits do things? Does it harness their energy? That's the stuff I want to find out.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Very, very true.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that Jody and I have talked about quite a bit. You know, she, last year when she went to the Stanley Hotel, she did a speech on old school paranormal styles, like staring into a mirror. What else was there? Staring into a bowl of water, right? You know, because like Nostradamus and some of these other that did the, all these predictions, that's some of the stuff they did, right?
Definitely.
So the way I look at it, why don't we look into some of the stuff from the past? We're so focused on the future and what greatest gadget we can develop next, which is great. I use them, so I don't bash the fact that there's new gadgets
right
out there. I'm the first to tell you, I get pumped when I see the UPS truck pull up because I know my new toy has come. but I think that, you know, as a field, a lot of teams get stuck in that closed narrow-minded set, right? They do it a certain way, and they just stick to it. And that's why, well, at our conference and then at Laura Calhoun's conference in San Antonio, I'm going to be speaking on thinking outside the box in paranormal investigating. And I'm going to talk about all this stuff and hopefully spur a lot of thinking when it comes to people on teams to try some of this stuff. I'm not going to sit back and go, yeah, I got these experiments. I'm not going to talk about them on the radio. I'm not going to talk about them to other people in the field, because if I get some badass evidence, screw y'all, I'm going to get famous with it. No. Who cares? You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the sad part about this field, is that that's all people care about anymore. And, you know, I mean, part of me thinks that the field was better before the paranormal hit the TV, because, you know, not to say that it's not a good thing. It is a good thing, because it's made people more open-minded about it. But at the same time, it's made people very greedy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and I'm the first to, you know, I won't knock. I'll talk about shows sometimes on our show, some of the ghost shows that are on television. But it's entertainment. You know, it's entertainment. That's the way it's set up. Now, if some if some shows could come out where the people involved had more control of what they're allowed to do, right? Which that could happen. Well, in fact, I know that's going to happen, but we won't talk about that. But people that have more control over what they do, then it could be more beneficial for the field. But when you got executive producers worrying about ratings and money, and, you know, and they got to fabricate things and this, that, and other, you know. And I've talked to people that have been on television shows or had a series, and they're not too happy with what the executive producers wanted them to do, or when they sat down and actually watched the episode, you know, after it was filmed and done and edited and aired on television, these people would watch their show and go, that's out of order. You know, that experience happened when we first got there, and they're saying it happened on the second night of investigation. Basically, they chopped it up and pieced it together to form a story, you know, which I understand. But a lot of people that are in the field, they'll watch this stuff and take it to heart. Oh, I got to do that. I got to do this. Or, you know, no, just watch it for what it is. I watch it mostly the time to see if there's any new ways of investigating, new ideas that somebody on television might do, or if they're using a piece of equipment or even old school stuff. I didn't even realize about the string until Brian Kano did it on Haunted Collector, because John Zaffis had him do it. And basically what he did was, they were talking about this doorway where they're seeing shadow figures going through it. Well, they hung a bunch of string, strips of string, and put a IR camera on it to see if something would move that string when it passed through that doorway. I would have never thought of that. And, you know, I saw that, and I was like, that's pretty simple. You don't have to spend a lot of money to do that.
Nope. It's another form of string theory.
Huh?
It's another form of string theory.
Yeah.
That was
bad. Yeah, exactly. I know. I know what you're doing.
I thought it was funny.
I got your joke.
Thank you. But somebody has a sense of humor.
Now, Jeff, we're going to take a pause from the discussion just for a second. Dr. Phil, once again, what is your suggestion for Jeff? What should he do?
And I want you to start having a gay relationship. I want you to start living as a gay woman.
I thought I did live as a gay woman.
And let me just be honest with you. Nobody really cares. Fair enough?
What a jerk.
Dr. Phil's not a jerk. Hey, Dr. Phil's not a jerk.
No,
I'm
not right.
Dr. Phil.
I'm a drunk pimp.
Oh, man.
Now I did have a question for Megan. You're from Iowa, right?
Correct.
Y'all ever figure out what in the hell that was Kevin Costner was hearing out in them fields?
Not entirely sure what you're talking about.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, you know, I have actually, this is terrible, and I should be shot for this, but I've never seen that full movie.
Oh, my God.
I know. I feel like such an Iowa traitor.
Age of two and not see that movie.
I know. No, it's terrible. So I don't know what you're really talking about.
in the movie, Kevin Costner's out there. He's out in this cornfield in his farm, and he hears this voice tell him, "If you build it, he will come."
Aha.
And he's like,
okay.
"What in the hell is that? Build what?" And he finally figures out it's a baseball field, and then the voice tells him, "Ease his pain." And all this other stuff. He keeps hearing this voice. Wow, it was a bad joke, ruined because you had never seen Field of Dreams.
I know. I'm sorry. I totally ruined that for you.
Oh, that had so much hilarity potential there.
I will say, though, if you guys have seen the movie The Crazies, that was also filmed in Iowa.
Nice.
No farmer zombies around here that I've seen.
I'm tired. Oh, God, Kevin.
What?
Such a jerk.
I'm just in a goofy mood. I've been up since 5 this morning, so I'm delirious.
Crap every single time I see or talk to Kevin.
But yeah, I mean, what theories or what would you like to see, or what would you like to try to find out answers about? You know, what kind of theories out there are floating in your head?
Well, I talked a little bit about this on Tuesday, but the main theory I have is, you know, what paranormal activity is. Are they actual human spirits? Do we have a choice to either go to heaven or hell or stick around for a little bit? Is it the residual energy of those people and not really their actual souls? Or are they able to, you know, is it all in our own mind? You know, the human mind has incredible capabilities and powers, and I think that, you know, we still don't understand everything that it is capable of doing. And one theory I talked a little bit about on Tuesday that I have is that, you know, if you think about it, all of your sensual experiences, your touch, your sight, your hearing, your taste, all of that is all electrical impulses firing off your brain. So one theory that I have about, you know, how certain people experience activity is that either those impulses are firing off in their brain, you know, are spirits able to make our brains do that? Are they able to manipulate energy in that sense where they can fire off those impulses in our brains where we hear a noise or we see something, we see a shadow or a mist or something? And the only problem I have with that theory, though, is how does our equipment capture that evidence if it's all in our head? I shouldn't say all in our head, but, you know, if it's
right.
Going on within our brain. But, you know, I mean, I think it's an interesting theory, and I would love to learn more about that. You know, also, I'm very fascinated and also terrified of demonic entities. I would really love to do more research and more learning about those, and I would love to investigate some demonic locations. You know, obviously, I think it's going to take a lot more preparation before I'm fully ready to do that, to take that on, but it is something that I would like to do in the future. If anything, I think just to help me personally learn about my own faith and my own spirituality.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I can definitely attest to the fact that it was kind of forced on me when it came to dealing with the demonic because of the fact I wasn't out looking for it. Frankly, it scared the hell out of me, and my faith was not in a good place at that point in my life. And you know, I started getting phone call after phone call of cases, and they all were at some level of demonic type activity. Some were cases where demonic oppression was first starting, so these things weren't, basically, I use the terminology, their claws weren't sunk in to the people involved, so these things were easier to get rid of. But I'm telling you, after dealing with some of the things that we have dealt with, like we were joking around earlier, talking about myself and two other people getting thrown out of this room, this bedroom of this location, and Jeff actually saw all three of us come flying out of that room with his own eyes, and that was a demonic case, and I didn't know how much power these things had. I thought it was, at that point, I was very stupid as far as knowledge. I was, but not knowledgeable in anything. My faith was in the crapper. At that point, that was back when Zach, Nick, and Aaron were first on air, and they basically talked shit to every spirit that they could come across, you know? They provoked, just crazy provoking. And I thought it was cool to do it. I thought it was funny. You know, we joked around and we're like, yeah, what are you going to do? You know, that kind of thing. And then when you get thrown out of a room, you know, and there's nobody in the room, and you're laying on the floor and you're going, now how in the hell did that just happen? You know? Do I want to crap my pants, or do I want to stand up and try to figure this out, or what? Do I need to run? You know, those kind of things go through your mind, and, you know, and then once I dealt with that possession of my teammate and physically burned her forehead with that Bible and stared in the eyes of somebody that was possessed by a demon, I knew right then, that's when God himself knocked on my door and said, hello, Kevin, I'm up here. You know, if there's truly evil, there's truly good. And then that's when my faith started getting back to where it needed to be and got even stronger. And, you know, and now I don't fear that, because I know if I bring my faith and my beliefs and all of that, when I go into a dark demonic type case, hey, I'm ready. Now, I know my life, my personal life, is about to go to shit, because every time we take on one of these horrific cases, everybody that's involved, their personal life starts going to shit real quick. It happens every time, because these things don't want you to help those families, so they'll do everything they can. So if they can't keep you from coming to help the folks, they'll just make your own lives personal hell, so that you'll eventually stop trying to help those people.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, even on top of that, going back to what you said about, you know, faith not being in a really strong point when you encounter it, that's something that's incredibly dangerous too, because, you know, these evil entities, and especially if you know, you have something going on in your personal life as well that just adds fuel to the fire. But these things feed off of that negativity, and, you know, that's how they get their job done. And they, you know, they basically suck the life out of people. And so, you know, that's something that's, you know, a fear in the back of my mind. But at the same time, there are so many locations that I don't want to be scared of still into just because there might be something demonic there. You know, I don't want to close myself off as an investigator. And I also think, you know, like I said, that it could help teach me so much more about my own faith and my own spirituality. So I'm not saying that, like, I want to go look for a demon or anything, but, you know, I don't want to close myself off to it. I want to be able to be strong enough to face that fear.
Yeah, because I can tell you from experience, and we talked about this Tuesday when I was talking about Yorktown Memorial Hospital and that other team. When you try to, if you don't, it's one thing to try to go at something when you've got a lot of faith and you're telling this thing it needs to go and it doesn't need to be tormenting people and tormenting other spirits and that kind of thing. But when you just go to taunt something you can't see and you're like, I'm not scared of you, blah, 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 these little bastards will follow your ass home and then you'll have crazy shit going on in your own homes. So, yeah, just like when I read Zach Bagan's book, you know, if you've watched, for the people that's watched Ghost Adventures, if you've not seen them evolve as investigators, they went from trying to be Mr. Badass in a location to being more humble when they go in now, because I read Zach's book. He's had his house exercised 3 times. Because of the fact that he would go in and talk shit, and then these bastards would show up at his house.
That's just it. I mean, so, you have to be very careful. And, you know,
yeah.
Provoking is fun and exciting, but when it comes to dealing with that stuff, it's not worth it. You got to be so careful. And I don't think people quite understand that.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the times that's why we get these kind of cases, because there's people that they're toying with stuff that they see on television and think it's cool and they're like, hey, let's go do this, you know. I've had a couple different people just contact us out of the blue that we have a lot of evidence on YouTube and whatnot from a cemetery here. And that cemetery has a demonic entity in it, because what happened was we did some research on the place, plus we had 2 different psychics do a reading, and they picked up the same thing that we found out historical. There was a satanic group that was going in there and doing ritual, and they opened the door, and this demonic force came in, right? Well, then the satanic group broke up, left, whatever, and, of course, that thing's there, and since they invited it in, the way the rule works with these things, if you invite it in, you got to uninvite it, right? I can't go in and uninvite it because I didn't invite it there in the first place. So my team to this day is still trying to find the right way about going in there and getting rid of that thing, because it does not need to be lingering in a cemetery, because people go in there all the time, ghost hunters, amateurs, whatever, and this thing, they don't know it's there. But I've had some people contact me and go, yeah, where's that cemetery where that evil spirit is? Because we want to go out there. We want to check this out. And I'm like, I don't remember how to get there. I don't want them going out there and putting themselves in danger.
Absolutely.
I know that.
I mean,
it's
a bad
yeah,
thing to deal with.
Well, I know for a fact, I've known Jeff, you know, over 20 years, and I haven't seen Jeff scared very many times in the time I've known him. And one of the times was when we pulled up there, we weren't prepared. Jeff's one of those that kind of has to prepare himself spiritually.
Yep.
And we just decided to stop by there on a whim. And we went in that section of the cemetery, and this thing come running out of the woods at them. And Jeff hopped back in the truck and was kind of hyperventilating and white as a sheet. It scared the hell out of him.
It tried to scratch me.
Yeah, but what was really crazy was the fact that all three of you saw it, too.
He came right up and got right in my face. Like, okay, I think we need to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's some scary stuff, for sure.
Well, I've been out there before. Like Kevin said, I wasn't prepared mentally or physically either because it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was dead-ass tired. And when you're tired, you open yourself up a little bit more, in my opinion. That's my theory. And I was out there just tired and being. But I went out, I was ready. I'm sorry, say again?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that is plausible that you're more vulnerable when you're tired because, you know, you're not as strong-minded and you're not as focused.
Exactly.
So, it's just like driving when you're tired. It's the same concept. Your mind is just not where it should be.
Which is why I never drive when we go to investigations.
Yeah, because you're always asleep on the way back.
Yep. I'm asleep all the way up, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm the one sucking down monsters to stay awake, keep the driver awake.
I get extremely bored when I get into a car. Even if I'm having fun, I still just even for like if I'm driving more than like 30, 45 minutes, I start to drift off, which is why I'm not looking forward to tomorrow.
Well, yeah, you want to talk about a long spell with no sleep. Try that trip to Tennessee that we did to Old South Pittsburgh. I got up at 7 Friday morning, worked all day, then we got in the vehicles. We started heading to Tennessee, drove all night. We pulled up into South Pittsburgh, Tennessee at 11 o'clock in the morning. I had still not been to bed. Because I was trying to keep people, you know, that were driving awake. And then we decided to start investigating. So we investigated all day. And I finally went to bed at 2 o'clock that Saturday night, 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, my body was about, I was starting to get delirious when I was investigating. I was like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I got to go get some sleep.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, I mean, that's another good point, too. You know, the way I have it set up in our group is, for the most part, I try to keep the same people working on residentials instead of trying to involve the entire group, unless, of course, they need an investigation, which a lot of times, they've waited so long to call that once we get there, there's crap going on. We know there's something there. We don't have to investigate it, you know. It's immediately trying to get the family to stop being scared, to stop that fuel that they're fueling these things, and trying to figure out the source, because there's always a source. There's a reason. They just don't come up and knock on your door and go, hey, I'm going to make your life hell now just because I want to. No.
Right.
They have to be invited. It's the way God set up the whole process. We have free will. If we make that choice and do that invite, and it doesn't, and when I say invite people, that doesn't mean you, hey, come on over, you know, that kind of thing. You can do things that are forms of invite. Because these things are deceitful, they will find ways around God's rule. So if you open a door, say you're playing with a Ouija board, and you're trying to talk to your grandmother, and this thing comes walking by and goes, oh, you're trying to talk to your grandmother. Well, I know everything about her, too, so I'm going to talk to you. You don't know who I am. And now there's the invitation. And they come on in. you know, and it could be just like Farrar. I mean, there's so much tragedy that's happened in that school that these things can, that door can open up, or one of those things could come in there because of the violence, the you know, the terror, everything that was caused by some of the past events can open that door to these evil spirits. And that's just, for anybody listening, that's just my theory. I'm not saying that's exactly how the world works, but that's just from my experiences, from what I've dealt with. And what do you think about that, Megan?
You know, I definitely agree with you there. Totally.
I mean, it's just, it's food for thought, and I always try to, I always try to tell people, look, I'll tell you my theory on things and what I've experienced, and you can log it in as information for you to look into, but I'm not going to tell you and be hell-bent about it. This is the way it should be done, or this is the way it happens, and da-da-da-da-da, because I don't know. There's not one person that knows everything. You know?
Right.
Yeah, there are,
exactly.
There's priests out there that do a lot of things. Bishop Long does a lot of things. And, you know, he knows a lot when it comes to demonology. And I'm sure that there are cases where Bishop Long even is like, okay, this is new for me. I've never seen him do this, you know? Because it's an evolving thing. And even with spirit world, when we start thinking that we got a thumb on what's going on, they do something different to throw us off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ever-changing, and it's always a surprise. That's the great thing about it, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I like it, because it's always it's challenging your thinking. It's challenging your problem-solving. You know, it's getting your mind going and really trying to figure things out, you know. And between doing that, the adrenaline rush, because I can tell you personally, you know, that's exciting as well, you know. I worked in a haunted house for 2 years scaring the hell out of people, and I enjoyed watching people piss their pants, you know.
Absolutely.
I got off scaring the hell out of somebody, and, you know, you get that adrenaline rush at the same time. I'm the one, while others might be kind of freaking out or going, oh, my God, I'm going, okay, how in the hell did that just happen? Let me look at this again, you know?
Exactly. It's the life of an investigator. We're forever doomed.
Yeah. Now, Jeff over there, he... Every damn place we go, he's like, somebody's touching me on my arm. Or somebody's touching me on my head.
What did I say earlier about everybody wanting a piece of the pie? Even the spirit world does.
That's what it is, that the spirit
thought. Yep.
So I'm telling you, if I could ever get the funds, I can't remember where that location is. I know it's up north. Like Massachusetts or Maine or somewhere up there, they got a hotel, old hotel, where they have a certain room where supposedly this female spirit will have sex or mess around with whoever, if it's a male that stays in that room. And she's messed around with like hundreds and hundreds of men that have slept in that room. So if you're truly the paranormal sex symbol, I need to get you up there and put this theory to the test.
No, you just want me to get a paranormal STD or something.
I wonder if that's possible. That was kind of not cool.
No kidding. I mean, you talk about a sickness that they can't cure yet. I mean, God.
Yeah, you go to the doctor and go, Doc, yeah, I got paranormal crabs. You got any ointments for that?
That doctor has in restraint jacket or something.
Well, we've already Jeff, you know this from some of the EVPs we got at Hill House. We've had EVPs of people having sex. So do ghosts have sex?
Good point.
Why not?
Right? I know for a fact that my ex-girlfriend, when she appeared in spirit to our teammate at the time, she was drinking a margarita. She was hitting a cold one, you know, over there on the other side. So, you know, more power to it. I just know that if I die before Jeff, I'm going to make his life a living hell.
Not when I get my officially sponsored Ghostbusters proton pack, you're not.
What?
That's
those
right.
Things are not real. There's no such thing as that's just on Ghostbusters.
Well, they may not be real yet, but imagine one time make one.
Oh, shit.
I know how to do those kinds of things.
Yeah, but see, with me, you would have, everywhere you would go, you would see a smiley face for one.
I'd have to shoot you with my proton pack.
I need one of those. I want one of those awesome backpacks. That'd be sweet.
You know, they're talking about making a new one, a new Ghostbusters movie.
That's been in the works for years.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray has only agreed to do it if they kill off his character at the beginning.
Why?
That's the route he wants to see it go.
He doesn't like the series?
No, he does. He wants to see the story take a new turn.
Oh.
Because at this point, I mean, you're talking about all those guys now are in their 60s. I mean, what are they going to be doing? Like, you know, trying to catch ghosts with walkers or something? So Bill Murray, he wants it to be where, like, they're turning it over to, like, you know, a bunch of new young people like me.
Like who?
Me.
Why you?
Well, I'm young. I'm fresh.
Now, let me just be honest with you. Nobody really cares. Fair enough?
I love it.
Hey, Kevin, I just read an article. Gordon Ramsay is getting sued.
You're going to smoke dope and have a good time.
I just read an article that Gordon Ramsay is getting sued.
For what?
Unpaid wages by his employees.
That's a load of crap.
I'm reading it. See, personally, if I worked for him, I'd have slapped the bejesus out of him a long time ago.
You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I can't stand that guy.
I can't either. He's a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not even in the cool way. Like, you know, like Gene Simmons is a dick, but he's cool about it.
True, yeah.
But this guy is just like
a dick.
He basically gets paid to go around restaurants in the country and yell at people.
Hell yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
I do that every day for free right here, you know, as a teacher.
I think I could live with that job.
I did it too, Jeff.
Do what?
I said I did it too for 9 years.
Yeah, but I've done it now for 12.
Well, good for you.
So that's longer than 9.
Yeah, I almost died from mine, so, you know.
Well, I had a bunch of people that almost died from me being their teacher. And my career is not over yet. That could still happen.
glad I'm still not in school.
I don't mind a challenge from a student, but when a student just... Okay, I had a... Yeah, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but since I'm not going to say any names, I'm all right. I actually had a student this year in the first semester had 35 absences.
Damn.
Are you... Okay, do you teach high school? What do you teach?
I teach high school theater and speech.
Okay. Well, if you were one of my college professors, then you would have not liked me, because I was never in class.
I did teach college for 2 years, and we had a rule. Once you got to 5 absences, you were dropped.
I would have definitely been dropped from my class.
I did drop a few.
I was not very studious.
But yeah,
That's why it took me so long to get out of college, because there were some teachers, some professors, that you could only have 3 absences for the whole semester.
Oh,
I think I had 10 the first couple weeks or whatever it was, couple months, and they failed me.
When I was in graduate school, you know how many classes we were allowed to miss for the semester?
One.
If you miss 2, you failed.
That's why I'm not very good at school. I was one of those who'd be like, I'm going to go on a ghost hunt. And then I'd be like, I'm not going to class today.
Well, the nice thing about graduate school is that all the classes were in the evening, and it was only Monday through Wednesday. We did not do grad classes, at least in my program. We didn't do graduate classes on Thursday or Friday.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be too bad then.
Yeah. In 2 years of graduate school, I think I had 2 absences.
I'm not even going to go how many absences I had. My first 2 years of junior college was good, but once I got out of the line of fire from my parents, it was bad. People have watched the movie Animal House. I lived it.
If you ever see the movie Van Wilder, if you ever see Van Wilder, at the very beginning in small print it says, based on the life of Kevin.
Yeah.
For me.
Dude, I'm probably the only person in the entire United States that, in the fraternity system, because I was in a fraternity, that I graduated from college, got a job. I was still living in the same town where the college is, and my roommate moved out on me, and I moved into the fraternity house and was living in the fraternity house as a college graduate.
Nice.
How did you even make that happen? I would have killed somebody.
Well, it was cheap. I only had to pay $300 in rent a month. All the bills were paid.
Valid point.
And I got to, on weekends, I got to continue to live just like in Van Wilder, party it on, and then go back to the real world during the week. So I kind of extended
that. I got to have all or nothing. If I go back to the party scene, I'm fucked. I'm game over.
That's
why I'm a homebody.
Teachers are actually among the most hardcore party people ever, and that's just because
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, we get the whole summer off, so it. Well, the teachers that don't have families of their own, for the most part, are out getting hammered right
now.
That
does not surprise me one bit.
No. I had a good friend that taught in a school just outside of Dallas, and he told me there was one summer he and some of his coworkers were going to a conference down – I want to say in Houston, but I'm probably completely wrong. He told me – at the hotel, his teacher that he worked with were doing cocaine and heroin?
Holy shit.
I was like, wow.
That's kind of a
damn. What were they trying to do? Were they trying to relive the movie The Hangover?
I don't know what they were doing. This was long before The Hangover came out.
Yeah, I know.
But he was shocked at this.
Well, it can't be any worse than me being when I was a teacher and a coach, and I would go out on a school night to a bar, club, and I would run in to some of my damn students that I would see the next day.
Oh, that's just wrong. Yeah. That's just not even cool.
Yeah, no. Too much
trouble.
Well,
I didn't know they were going to be there, and they got in on fake IDs. They're not supposed to be there. You know? And I'm there having a few drinks, and lo and behold, I'm like, what in the hell are you doing here? I know your age.
Mm-hmm.
You're a freaking freshman. What are you doing in here?
Yep.
You know?
Yeah,
I have to say, I lived the days of the fake IDs too, so I get it. I get it. I was 17 going to the bars in Iowa City with my college age sister.
Nice. It's far away from where I work.
Well, needless to say, I'm now a homebody, so that's all
me
in the
too.
Past.
I'm an old lady.
Anyway.
Old lady.
You're one of my hobbies.
Yeah. You're a homebody, but if you get a site to do a paranormal investigation, you're out quick.
Oh, absolutely. You bet.
Yeah. That's why it's going to be crazy fun. I told Jody I'm probably going to laugh the entire weekend because Jody's coming down to San Antonio in November, and I'm going to be there, and Phil's going to be there, and Scott Grimwald's going to be there, and Kevin, Brian, and Justin Nary. I mean, get us all together. It's just going to – and, of course, Laura Calhoun, she's funny as shit, too. We're just going to be laughing all weekend. We're not going to get anything
done.
Yeah,
you guys are going to have a hell of a time.
Yeah, I've been friends with Jody for, God, almost a year and a half, and I've never actually met her in person yet.
Oh, she's a riot. I love that girl. I love her to death. Her and I are in trouble.
Well, you think that's trouble, you'll have to tune in Tuesday because we got Scott Grimwald on the show. So, yes, it's going to be Scott and Jody on air at the same time.
Awesome.
So probably,
I will definitely tune in.
It's probably going to get real bad.
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last time I listened to Scott on a show on this network, he was on Full Spectrum Radio, and he was talking about a full scrotum camera that he wanted to develop.
Damn. That's disgusting. Something just don't need to be said.
That's pretty awesome.
You hush. You probably developed the ass cam.
What probably, you know, I did. There was no doubt.
Oh.
But now they call it
Skype. Oh, Lord. Well, Megan, we're down to the last 5 minutes. If you want to plug anything, post some, you know, where people can look you up. I know you got a fan page, so people can keep up with you.
Yeah, I do. That's all I've got. I don't have a personal profile because, actually, it used to be my personal profile, but I just took the easy route and turned it into a fan page. So anyway, it's facebook.com/MeganCampbellOfficial. If you need to know how to spell my last name, look down at the bottom in the bio and you'll figure it out pretty quickly. Like my page, I post everything that I do on there and some other random, crazy, funny stuff. So I guarantee you'll get at least a good laugh out of it, if anything.
Exactly. And we'll definitely have you back on later on when things are able to be talked about.
Yeah, that would be great, you know, when
quit
we can actually discuss it.
Quit doing that.
I know, we're just terrible. We're bad.
The sad part about it is, Jeff, I know what it is, but I'm not even going to say because
then
I'm friends with these people. Huh?
Send it to me in a text.
No.
You are a jerk. Good.
You'll find out soon enough, I promise.
This is why you will be a tour bus, Kevin.
You're not getting a tour bus.
You owe me one.
It's in the contract. You work for me.
I know, and your payment is to buy me a tour bus and hire a driver.
God. Anyway, thanks so much, Megan, for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I always have a blast here, and it was awesome. So
I'm glad you got to talk to me.
Yeah, I'm glad I did too, and I would love to come back anytime. So
I do apologize that you had to talk to Kevin again.
You know what? I'd like Kevin. I'm cool with it.
Don't tell him that.
Head.
Don't tell him that.
He's got good ideas. He's got great ideas, and I like
tell
taking
him
other
that.
People's brains.
Especially, don't tell him that on the air. Now he's just going to use that against me.
I take it back. I take it all back.
There you go. Thank you.
He's terrible. He's awful.
Exactly.
No, you can't take it back. It's already on air.
Sorry, you took it back. God damn it. I forgot about this thing record. I could edit it out.
Well, thanks, but no thanks. But, yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Megan, and you have a great night, and we'll get you back on later on.
Sounds great. Thank you guys again. You guys enjoy your evening, and happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
All right.
Have a great evening.
All right, later. You too.
Bye-bye. Awesome.
All right.
You know what's going on next Sunday? Other than the show, of course.
No.
Next Sunday, there's going to be a super moon. It's the closest the moon is going to be to Earth this year.
Wow.
That's going to be going on next Sunday, the 23rd.
Cool.
But I may have to broadcast from outside.
As long as you're not naked.
Oh, I'm naked anyway.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, next week, our guest is psychic medium Stephanie Rice. That's who we'll have next Sunday. And that following Tuesday, the 25th, that's our big anniversary special. One year anniversary for Terrify, and yeah, you'll be in Memphis, won't you?
No, not until the 28th.
Oh, okay. And then the one year anniversary of Unknown Radio Network. So all the hosts, co-hosts, we're all going to be live on air together. So should be pretty damn funny.
I may be at your house.
Oh, Lord. Good. Then I can whoop your ass live on air.
Anyway, you even whoop me in a dream, you better wake up and apologize.
Well, Dr. Phil, what do you have to say to Jeff if he shows up at my house?
You're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Well, yeah. That's me anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to find some...
I'm a drunk pimp.
Exactly. Well, tune in. I believe Matt and Dennis are going to fire up Into the Darkness tomorrow and do it full spectrum style. So tune in tomorrow for that. And Tuesday on Terrify Radio with Jody Parks and myself, we will be interviewing Scott Grinwald of Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel, StuCon, several other things that he's involved with. And so check it out. If you want to laugh, you're going to get 2 hours of nonstop craziness.
Did you think I would just take you back? Like you can just walk out and then come back like nothing happened? Oh, don't look at me like that, Mr. Head. Remember, you're the one that left. I'm not going to take you back. You can just go to hell. You go to hell and you die. You are a lying ball of turd, Mr. Head. I hope...
Damn.
Yeah, I can do funny sound effect things, too.
Uh-huh. Well, anyway, well, we're going to close it down for the evening. Do you have something to play us out?
Well, I do. Just saw one I want to play. I got to go back up to it. No, I don't want to play that, actually. Where is it? I'm going to play the one I played last week because that song gets me pumped up.
All right.
And you need to listen to this, Kevin, because you needed lessons in how to rock, okay? So you need to listen
okay.
to this. This is Call of the Warrior. Good night, everybody.
Good night.